For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. 71% of the workers in Amazon's Bessemer, Alabama warehouse last week voted not to unionize. Now, this despite tales from inside of multiple Amazon warehouses of grueling work conditions and very little time even for bathroom breaks. Labor and management across the country, they've been watching this situation closely for what it might mean for the union effort in other states. One of those watchers has been Connecticut AFL-CIO President Sal Luciano, and he joins us now. Sal, your thoughts.
Yeah, it's not surprising that they lost. Here's the situation that they found themselves in. Before the organizing started, the Amazon workers were aware of the company's anti-union position. Amazon has fired workers for union activity in New York and Virginia and faced no financial penalties. There are almost none under current labor law. Amazon's use of high-tech surveillance of workers' organizing interests were widely reported. Amazon faced no penalties for this activity. In the election itself, as soon as the petition was filed, Amazon began a massive anti-union campaign. Flyers and banners were posted throughout the facility, even in the bathroom stalls, in the back of the bathroom stalls, the one place where they have privacy. They had, where are your dues going? Question mark. The one place where you can have privacy and should have privacy. And it's ironic that it's an anti-union campaign in the bathroom, because that's why many workers wanted to unionize in the first place, because of the inability to be able to use the public facility. They literally lied to these people by telling them that if they become unionized, that they must pay $500 in union dues, which in states like Alabama and 26 other states, that isn't true. People can get all the union protections and get a union contract and even have the union file a grievance form, and they're not required to pay a penny. Amazon was able to convince our U.S. Mail service to put a mailbox unmarked on their property.
And that mailbox, I understand, ostensibly was put out there to supposedly, quote unquote, make it easier for union workers to submit their ballots. But of course, the union workers weren't sure exactly who was going to see those ballots once they submitted. Is that your understanding of the situation?
Yes, they claimed that they were intimidated because it was put in a place where management can see who voted.
So it sounds like you think that, yes, the final numbers come out 71% against, the remainder four. But it sounds like you think that it wouldn't have been that type of margin or that type of outcome had it not been for some draconian tactics on the part of management.
Yeah, it is why RWDSU filed a claim that these illegal activities are going on. If it's proven, the regional director can get this vote thrown out.
How successful do you expect that to be?
If they can prove many or even half of the allegations that I just gave you today, the election would be thrown aside and they would revote. Of course, we're not confident of how that revote would go, given the fact that, again, Amazon has almost limitless resources. But this was the first attempt at going after essentially the richest man in the world and trying to have a voice at work. And it'll happen again, because people are starting to feel that the system's rigged against them and they want to have a voice at work.
What does this defeat say about the future of unions in America? I mean, unionization of blue-collar workers nationwide, you've hinted at it. I mean, I got a couple of numbers here. It's down from about 35% in its heyday in the 1950s, and now it's down to around 10% of blue-collar workers. I mean, so what is the future here?
If you look at the polling data, a huge majority of people would like to be in a union if they could, but so few people are. So why the discrepancy? Well, it's because of the labor laws. Well, we stacked the laws to make it in favor of the employer, and we've weakened any penalties. That's why we've asked, and that's why Congress passed the PRO Act.
And you say PRO Act. Will you spell that out for us?
Sure. It's the Protect Our Right to Organize Act, and that's the name of the law that passed Congress. And they call it the PRO Act for short. In other words, it doubles the damages when you get fired without the distinction that they make now, that whatever money that you make when you're fired from another job the employer doesn't have to pay you. It would double your salary if they fire you just because you tried to organize. It would begin to make some of the illegal behaviors that the employers use, it would actually have meaningful sanctions instead of having it be toothless.
To what degree is the unionized effort dragged down by the albatross of the idea that, you know, that dues being paid are assets that are being misused on things they shouldn't be used on? How much do you fight against that image?
There is some of that, but I think, you know, if you look at bonding, which is the insurance companies that will insure a union so that if money is misappropriated, that it's paid back. The bonding for unions are actually lower than bondings for churches. So that's not to say that churches are corrupt. It's only to say that, yes, unions have their difficulties, but by the insurance claims, you can see that unions are even cleaner than churches.
You know, one of the interesting things about the union effort down in Alabama was that it had high media attention. It had endorsements from famous entertainers. It had endorsements from politicians. So what does the failure here say about the efficacy of such high-profile attention and endorsements?
I think what it says is that if you have a lot of money, if you have millions of dollars to spend and your opponent, the workers themselves with very little money, that you could give them such a confusing, overpowering and enough misinformation that they'll vote against their self-interest. But I think the positive piece is with all of that, over 700 people voted to come together to form a union, to have a voice in the workplace. They were barraged everywhere, including the bathroom stalls, their phones, social media, and yet the heroic people who were not afraid to vote yes numbered almost a third.
Connecticut AFL-CIO President Sal Luciano, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.